This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Sky Blues Extra podcast, kindly sponsored by Shortland Horn, Coventry's leading estate agents. Now, I know a couple of people have asked where I've been the last few weeks, mainly Glenn Walker and his weird obsession with me, but happy to say I am back on the pod this evening and joined by Andy and Matt. Chaps, how are we? Good to have you along.
Oh, good, thank you, Dino.
Very well. Good to be here.
Lovely stuff. Well, let's be honest, what difference a few days makes after what can only be described as a humiliating defeat on Wednesday night at Kenilworth Road. We were treated to a scintillating second half display on Saturday to defeat the title favourites Fulham at the CBS Arena. Andy, let's start with you. Let's get your thoughts on what was a pretty bonkers week, even by the Sky Blue Zone standards.
Yeah, mad, wasn't it? Yeah, absolutely mental. From zeros to heroes in, what, 2-3 days? So, yeah, Coventry City for you, really. But no, from an absolute, what should we say, a complete non-performance on Wednesday to a table-topping performance on Saturday. The contrast was just completely different, wasn't it, Dino? But
yeah,
that's the Championship. It's a mad league. You're going to get times where you get battered by people that you don't think you're going to get battered by, and you're going to beat teams that you think you are not going to beat. So it's a fun league, and I'm enjoying this season, and I enjoyed yesterday, but not Wednesday.
Absolutely. Matt, are you starting to believe, or is it too early still?
Still, well, I think the main thing for me is just kind of enjoying what we're doing at the minute. Mm-hmm. I kind of, from my own personal perspective, you know, obviously I kind of take the budget into account, and staying up was pretty much, obviously it was definitely the main focus last season. And to some respect again this year, you know, whereas maybe last season it was we can hope to stay up, this season we've still only got the fourth biggest budget, or so we're led to believe in the division, or the fourth smallest, as I should say, budget in the division. So it's more a case of still thinking relegation maybe is the main thought occupying our minds, but probably more an expectation than hope to stay up and then see what we can do. So this is, you know, anything at the moment is just an absolute bonus. And I'm trying to kind of keep my feet on the ground to a certain extent, because we're all Coventry fans. We all know what can kind of happen. But that's the main thing for me, just enjoying what we're doing. Because, you know, when you start kind of, you probably look at Fulham as a great example of that. They probably, if it had been, you know, the opposite result for them winning 4-1, it wouldn't have been so much a case of their fans enjoying the day. It would have been, this is what we expect to do. Whereas I think for us at the moment, you know, a result like that, it's great. It moves us up to third. That's fantastic. It's great fun looking at the table. But actually, we're all kind of able to really enjoy those afternoons for what they are. So, yeah, it was maybe at this stage still kind of thinking, you know, let's see where we are in 10 games or so. But, yeah, you never know.
Yeah, it's funny you say about the table. I think I've stared at it for about a good hour over the past
I say all that, and I have been looking at it quite a lot for somebody who's kind of trying to keep their feet on the ground. So yeah, it's hard not to kind of look at it and maybe think what might be.
But goals and expectations change, though, right? You know, with the way we've started this season, surely the goals may have changed for Robbins and his team.
I think kind of from their perspective, the main thing is, you know, really pushing on what we did from last season. And the confidence just looks absolutely fantastic in the players at the moment. They are coming into every game thinking they can win. And Fulham was probably the first time where there was a real kind of, we were coming up against one of the relegated teams for the first time this season. So there was that big question mark for the first time this season, but the confidence was clearly there. And I think from their perspective, I genuinely think they're probably looking at it a similar way. You know, let's take it for what it is at the moment, take every game as it comes in, but still with that confidence of believing they can actually go into each game and win it, to be honest with you.
Well, it's a good time to be a City fan, that's for sure, but it wasn't on Wednesday night. Let's look at the two games then. Let's start with that defeat on Wednesday against Luton. It's an action-packed pod in store, so let's get on with it. Hate to be the bearer of bad news, but we've got to start with this monstrosity. Andy, give us the lowdown with the stats on this one, if you don't mind.
Yeah, a little bit surprising, Dino. We outplayed them in the possession. We had 56.8% possession, and we have 329 passes completed compared to their 242. And you'd think to yourself, if you didn't watch the game, you'd think, well, how they lost 5-0.
How many of those were misplaced, though, those passes?
Well, I don't have that stat. But yeah, it would be a good one to get on that night, wouldn't it? But looking in, they kind of hit us on the counter-attack, didn't they, all the time, didn't they, Luton? They just outpressed us, and they did to us what we did to Fulham, didn't they? Yeah. So, that was a bit of a surprising stat to me. But we only had 6 shots compared to their 21. And we had 1 shot on target compared to their 9. So, yeah, complete domination in that area for Luton. Defensively, 11 interceptions compared to their 14. We won more tackles than them, which again surprises me. And however, they won a lot more aerial duels. They won 31 compared to our 16.
And Matt, it was an unchanged side, wasn't it, from that win against Peterborough on Friday night. Was there any surprises in there for you? Because I know a lot of people talk about Hamer and obviously being on that precipice of a suspension.
Yeah, not really any surprise for me. I think kind of when it comes to that side of things, if you starting changing things and start dropping people because they might get a ban, then kind of you're kind of shooting yourself in the face really on that. Yeah. You know, you're saving them from getting a ban from not playing by not playing them. So I wasn't really surprised. I know kind of when we spoke in the podcast last week, Ross kind of thought there might be a couple of changes. And in hindsight, he was probably right in thinking or hoping that might be the case, because maybe there was a little bit of tiredness.
Could have made 11, but the way it went.
Exactly. Yeah, could have pretty much just brought the kind of the under 23s in at the moment. But yeah, no, it wasn't a surprise to me, if I'm honest with you. I thought you're coming into the game on the back of a 3-0 win, so you're not really going to change too much. And like I say, when it comes to Hamer, you know, while he's available, I think he's going to be in the team. But yeah, maybe some more changes should have been made in hindsight.
Andy, you mentioned that press from the off. I mean, we looked off the pace, didn't we, to begin with? I've obviously highlighted those misplaced passes as well. And Adebayo was already causing a nuisance at the top end of the pitch. Mm. And on the third minute, we give away that penalty. It's questionable, obviously, whether it was a penalty or not. Let's get your thoughts on it. Outside the box?
No, outside the box, completely. Not even a doubt. You know, he could even tell him full time when it was going on that it was outside the box. And when it was slowed down, we confirmed that it was completely outside the box. I'll just say they targeted our left-hand side all game, didn't they? It seemed to be like they did the homework on Clark, Salter and Mattison, which is a surprise to me because obviously Mattison's been fantastic this season. You know, he's won most tackles in the Championship, and to be fair, before the Luton game, I thought Clark Salter has been growing in our team as well. So it's quite interesting to see why they targeted that side of the pitch, but they did. And whether it paid off by luck for them or by judgment, I don't know. But no, for me, a definite free kick outside the box, and no, never a penalty in a million years.
Obviously, the initial contact is outside the box, but apparently there's been a rule change that, you know, it depends where the player ends up.
You're allowed to foul outside the box.
Apparently it's not roll. The initial contact now. It's apparently where it's the continuation of the foul. It's the last point of the continuation of the foul, which for me was still outside the box. But
I was going to say, it's still outside the box.
isn't that shit rule?
It is, but you know, that's the officiating of the EFL for you, I suppose.
God's
sake.
Yeah,
we've come to know and love it, especially over the last 2 years. It's pretty poor, isn't it?
Yeah, mental.
So, dismal 15-minute period after that goal as well. Every time Luton came forward, they caused issues. 18 minutes, they doubled the lead. Free header for Harry Cornick, Matt.
Yeah, free header, all round poor goal, not just kind of when it got to him in the kind of 5 yards out, centre of goal. Shouldn't really be in that position with a free header. But before that, it's a poor free kick that we gave away. Looked like we'd half got it clear, but it's just such a kind of a lazy ball that they floated back into the box. It was a nothing ball, really. And kind of they're allowed to get that first header back across goal without really too much of a challenge. I think it was Clark Salter and McFadden both got drawn in by Adebayo in the middle of the goal. I appreciate he's probably the biggest threat in their side, but you know, obviously in that situation, you need a bit more regimented kind of back line picking up their own men. I think it was McFadden at fault for that when he seemed to kind of drift in and it left Gornick, as you say, 5 yards out with a with an easy kind of finish to put away to double the lead. And I think from that point on, it already started to look like we were going to be in trouble. I mean, at that point, you kind of say in 18 minutes, it's 2-0, but they had one or two other chances outside of the goal as well to kind of double the lead before that. I remember a long throw and a header in it, and it was all really simple stuff. As Andy says, it kind of targeting the left-hand side. We were probably fortunate just to be 2-0 down after 18 minutes, which really speaks for itself, to be honest.
Talking about that left-hand side, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to look back at these goals, but there's probably a missing persons report for Ian Mattson during this goal as well. He's not even in the frame of the picture. I don't know where he is. It's just very odd. It's a strange way. Probably getting a slap for it. Yeah, that's for sure. A bad dream then became a nightmare on the half-hour mark, a goal that really summed up the way we defended in this match. Fads and JCS obviously leaving it for each other to try and deal with, and Luke Berry doing what he seems to do every time against us and score and make it 3-0. But absolutely awful, wasn't it, Andy?
Was he likes playing against us, doesn't he?
Yeah, was it Cheltenham? Was it Cheltenham he used to play for? He scored four or something?
He scored in the FA Cup against us, didn't he? He did 4 goals. I don't know, was it Cambridge?
Cambridge, that was it.
Yeah, he loves it. Loves it against the Sky Blues, Luke Berry, yeah. But the defending was just like, do you want it or do you want it? It was just complete lack of communication between JCS and McFads and some their night up, both of them two. Them two were terrible all night, absolutely awful. And it's just unreflective, especially of Fads this season. Fads has been like faultless, but that was back to his old days. It was awful performance by him. And they'd left it for each other. Obviously, they got done behind, and then Berry just slotted it, didn't he, in the corner. So really poor, poor goal, and summed the night up, really, didn't it, lads?
Just a bit, yeah. I mean, Andy's already mentioned it there, Matt, but you know, very uncharacteristic of us, wasn't it, this season, especially when we'd only conceded like 6 goals, which was the lowest in the division. Adebayo obviously made it 4 in added time. Just failing to deal with the situations that arose.
Pretty much consistently throughout the first half. And as you say, very uncharacteristic of us, certainly this season. You know, any professional football club going in at 4-0 half-time, they'd feel it should be kind of uncharacteristic for them. But for Coventry fans, again, probably in the past, you know, you think, well, we might have this kind of thing in us, but certainly this season, and you know, since Robbins has been back, for sure, you know, a result like this at halftime is not what you expect to see. And certainly this season, going into that game, as you say, best defensive record in the league, only conceded 6 goals in the previous 9 games. There was no way you could see that coming. They, in fairness to Luton, I know Nathan Jones had talked quite a lot in the week in terms of, this was a kind of a yardstick game for him. He kind of wasn't happy what he'd seen from him over the previous few games, and he wanted to see a change. And he'd obviously, for the previous few days going into this game, kind of given them a tough time in training. You could see that straight from the off. And I just think we looked like rabbits in headlights, pretty much just caught straight from the off. And as you say, that fourth goal, you know, it summed up again, you know, really easy opportunity to find space down that, well, their right-hand side or our left-hand side of defence. Ball into the area, just one flick, and he's 3-4 yards out to tap the ball home. And it was already game over, but it was kind of really game over at that point, and really kind of hammered home a terrible night for us.
Absolutely. Don't want to dwell on this too much, so let's get over with quickly. The fifth goal, obviously, Sheaf dispossessed in midfield after a hospital pass from Fads. Berry nips in. Cornick puts it away to cap off an absolute horror show for the Sky Blues, eventually 5-0 defeat at Kenilworth Road. Andy, do you think this was a case of Luton doing their homework or us being shockingly bad on the night?
Both. Completely both, Dino. I thought they did well. I thought they played really well, by the way. I thought they played excellent. And I think Nathan Jones said after the game that was probably their best performance of the season. I thought that was our worst game of the season, and I thought they outpressed us, and they pressed us really well, and we couldn't deal with it on the night. And so a combination of both, Dino, to answer your question.
I think the pressing thing is important, because I think if you look at every match in the Championship, whoever presses best generally wins the match.
Yeah. Well, not just in the chat, in football generally, if you press the ball well, you win the ball back quickly, you get a quick turnover, don't you? And it normally sometimes results in goals, doesn't it? So, yeah. And we showed at the weekend what a good press does, doesn't it, Dean?
Absolutely. And Matt, a night to forget for both, or for all of defence, I would say. Maybe barring Todd Kane, I didn't think he had too bad of a game. But Ian Matson and JCS just weren't at the races, were they?
I think the benefit for Kane was really he was just the guy who benefited from being the furthest away in terms of kind of the defensive line. He just got to stay away from it because they, as Andy mentioned before, for whatever reason, whether it's by design from their players or whether it was, you know, they really targeted our left-hand side of defence. That just seemed to be from minute one where they were going to go with everything. And it worked for them, in fairness. You know, it was the poorest game by far for both Matson and Jake Cartsalter. It's kind of Matson, as Andy mentioned before, you know, he's been really solid. So it was quite surprising for him. I think Cartsalter, you know, he has had dips in form, kind of been in and out at certain points, but the last couple of games, you know, he has seemed to be kind of trending upwards in terms of his form, and it was a really kind of big surprise. But they were just, I think one of the things for us, we are big in terms of the press, you know, we are trying to kind of get on the front foot, get at teams, and it seemed very simple in terms of the fact of, I think I saw something on the Luton Twitter feed where they were talking about the fourth goal or maybe the third goal where they were saying, you know, goal played out from the back, and it was really generous of them in terms of the fact of it was rolled out from their keeper to the right back. He hoofed pretty much all the way down the field, and Cartsalter and Matson did a better job of tackling each other than they did Cornick, and they were able to kind of run in from there. So I think it was, we were pressing so hard, we were leaving those gaps, and Luton, to be fair to them, have exploited it way better than any other side. But yeah, Matson and Cartsalter in particular, they were targeted and they kind of buckled into that, unfortunately.
Andy, do you think this might be one of those fixtures where during the season you see it as a bit of an eye-opener, you know, in the sense that if we have ambitions then of continuing this fine start, we can't sort of take our eyes off the ball and can't underestimate teams, no matter who they are, especially in this division?
I think a slap is always good if you learn from it. I tell it from experience. because I think when you get a slapping like that, Dean, I think as long as you respond to it well, then I don't think it's a bad thing.
And to be fair, we have responded well in the past, haven't we? You know, you look at the likes of that Rotherham game in the League One season, etc. There was a couple of times last year where we had some really bad defeats and we came back well.
Generally, when Robbins needs a result, he gets one.
Absolutely. He? Yeah, well, that's the main thing to get, isn't it, really?
Yeah, of course it is.
You've got to get a response at times.
Yeah, and I thought he got one in spades, didn't he? Absolutely. But no, to answer your question, I think sometimes being brought down to earth isn't a bad thing as long as you learn quickly from it.
Absolutely. And I think we should also mention those terrifying scenes in the away end in that first half with one of our own fans collapsing. Obviously not a very nice thing to witness for everyone there. And quite rightly, a hefty stoppage in play whilst he was treated pitch side. Mm. Frankly, he's okay and glad to see that he's on the mend. And a brilliant gesture from the club, and especially Matty Godden, wasn't it, to get in touch and get a signed shirt to him?
Yeah, top man, isn't he, Godden? He's a ledge, isn't he? He loves doing things like that. And as we know, we've spoken to him a few times, and he's a top man.
And I think it shows how close they are to the fans, and they appreciate the fans, don't they?
Definitely.
More than anything. That's a good thing to see. Right, let's try and move on. I hate to ask this one, but did anyone do enough to warrant a man of the match from either of you?
Maybe Todd Kane, for the fact of being over the other end of the pitch. He was just kind of out of the way, really. It was one of those nights where the least you kind of involved player would probably get the award for man of the match. So that's the biggest thing I could probably stand anybody out from, if I'm being completely honest.
Andy, anyone
Fabio
from you?
Army.
Yeah, I was going to say that too.
They deserve a medal for doing that.
There was a great rendition of Twisted Shout from about 60 minutes to 80 minutes.
Yeah, we're great away from home, and even at the CBS, but no, even to stick with it that long and even, you know, pull out a few songs, fair play to them.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
All right, let's move on to Saturday's showdown at the CBS versus promotion chasing Fulham. And as the season's turning out, it's one of our rivals for the title. The start of the stats, Andy. Let's kick off with those.
Yeah, quite interesting because most of the games this season, bar one or two, we've been in possession, a lot more possession than the other team. We've been playing a lot more front foot football this season compared to last. But this season, well, not too surprising because obviously Fulham are up near top of the league, but we only had 41% possession. We had 306 passes completed compared to their 474. So they had a lot more of the ball than us. However, we had 14 shots compared to 12, and only five of them were on target, which we scored four of them, didn't we? So that's good.
Conversion, mate. You must be loving that.
I am liking that. But they only had one on target of their 12, so they need to work on that, don't they? Mitrovic needs to do some extra training, doesn't he?
The way he was chasing after the referee for most of the game, he got fitness levels up, surely.
He did. And defensively, we won 13 tackles compared to their 15 and won 14 aerial duels compared to their 16. So very similar, Dino.
Absolutely. Matt, a few changes to the lineup. Obviously, Hamer suspended, which meant a first start for the season for Captain Fantastic, Liam Kelly himself.
Yeah, great to see him back, for obviously starting for the first time. I seem to mention him pretty much every week in my preview, hoping to kind of, you know, see that nod to say he's going to be at least back in the squad. And obviously he's kind of had some time off the bench over the last couple of weeks, but good to see him in from the start. Obviously, as we know, it's kind of an enforced decision, but it's one of those decisions. I think it's almost worked out as a benefit for Mark Robbins in a game like Fulham. You know, as much as we don't fear anybody this season, you do have to give them that respect in terms of the quality they've got in their team, in their squad, and to potentially go a little bit more defensive. Although I know we don't want to do it at home, and we've kind of shown what we can do it on our own field this season. I don't think it was the worst thing for us. So it wasn't, I don't think, even though nobody wants to see Hamer suspended, I don't think it was the worst point for him to miss out. And obviously, another area of the pitch, I don't think, again, Waghorn, when I saw that he was missing, I kind of thought that was a reaction change from Robbins. I wasn't aware, obviously, of the situation with Waghorn. I thought that was just a reaction, because I expected it from Robbins. As we say, he kind of is somebody who won't be afraid to make changes when they're need to be made and kind of get the results that we need. So I thought that was a reaction, but obviously finding out later that it was because of Waghorn's unfortunate illness. So, but in terms of timing, you know, Godden's a striker, you know, he's desperate. He's not somebody who's going to want to sit on the bench and pick up a wage. He wants to be out there. He wants to be kind of involved and playing. And I think for him to come in at that point, you know, he's going to work his socks off and kind of, I wasn't surprised to see him get on the score sheet, obviously in controversial fashion in the end. And we'll I'm sure touch on that a bit later on, but for me, it wasn't the worst change either, and I wouldn't have been surprised or disappointed to have seen it happen anyway. So yeah, it worked out well.
Absolutely, and in stark contrast to Wednesday night, we started much brighter. We've mentioned it a few times this season, but there seems to be at times we just seem to be lacking that little bit of cutting edge when it matters most at the top end of the pitch, Andy.
Yeah, we have and we haven't. I know we've scored quite a few goals this season, but yeah, the start of the game, we really pressed them well all game. We really did that a good number on them regarding the press, the high press, and we really didn't give them time on the ball, did we? It was a brilliant response by us early doors, because that's what you have to do when you get whacked in the week. You have to make sure that you start quickly, and that's what we did. Yeah, probably the only downside is that we didn't really carve that many great opportunities out, but the press was superb and we're winning the ball back really, really well early doors, which was very encouraging.
Let's talk about the goal. You know, Matt mentioned Fulham having, you know, needed respect. I think their squad is worth 9.5 times ours, according to transfer market stats. So yeah, you have to give them that respect. You can see their quality. They were growing in confidence during this period of the game. And let's talk about the defending from Fads. I mean, a lot of people are seeing it as a foul for Mitrovic. I think it's a foul, but let's get your thoughts on that, Matt. What do you think?
I think it probably is, but it's one of those. I know, obviously, kind of we'll look at it in bias Coventry City sort of kind of tinted glasses, and kind of even as a neutral, I'd say it was a foul, but it's not that bad of a foul where you think he needs to do what he did. You know, that for me. Yeah. It's not as if he's kind of, his body's been twisted around or his head's been twisted around to the point that he's going to kind of, it's just one of those Fads moments, isn't it? He just seems to have those moments. He kind of hasn't had as many this season, but we're kind of all familiar. We know they're there. It's just a case of whether he can kind of outweigh those with positive moments. And I think massively this season, he obviously has in terms of his play for us, but it's just one of those moments. It probably is a bit of a foul, maybe in the Premier League with VAR and everything else, it goes a different way, but you know, for me, it's one of those, it's it's that marginal that you say, well, look, let's have a look at kind of the actual defending rather than just focus too much on whether it's a foul or not. And I think it is poor, let's face it, from him.
Andy, you've talked about defending quite a lot. What's your thoughts on this? He's the completely wrong side, isn't he, for a start?
Yeah, poor body shape. That's what I thought when the goal went in. From fact, I thought his body shape was all wrong. He wasn't in front of him, was it? He was behind him. Well, you're always taught as a defender to get in front of him, you know, stay beside your man or just behind him. You don't get in front of your man. His body shape was all wrong, Dino. That's why when it hit his head, it went in the corner. If his body shape was in front of the man, he would have headed it straight out, in my opinion. So his body shape was all wrong, and it was a big mistake. I think it was a little bit of a tug by Mitrovic, but you're never going to get them, are you?
I think it's one for me where if it's anywhere else in the pitch, it's probably a foul because you can't put two hands on someone's chest and push them onto a ball.
Agreed. But it's just his body shape was just poor. That's why it went in the net, unfortunately. And he needs to learn from that, Fads. But yeah, unfortunately, it didn't cost us this time.
Absolutely not. And even though we were 1-0 down, I never really doubted that we wouldn't carve out some opportunities and cause them issues in the second half. And lo and behold, within 2 minutes of the restart, we got ourselves level. Thanks to that brilliant press on their defence, causing them to make mistakes. You know, football at times is the team who makes the least mistakes. Mm. O'Hare nips in, shows some brilliant composure, doesn't he? And Big Vic is there again to make it 8 for the season, Andy.
Yeah, fantastic press by O'Hare. We know that Cal is probably the best in the league at the forward press from, you know, defending from the front. He's fantastic at it, isn't he? And brilliant press by him, drawed out the mistake from the Fulham defenders. And then he nipped in and then beautiful composure, awareness to find Big Vic. And Big Vic doesn't miss from there, Dino.
He hit it quite softly, though.
It did.
Sort of trickled across the goal, didn't it?
It did. I was like, do you want to hit that a bit harder, mate?
Yeah.
Very casual. Very casual.
Super casual. Yeah. But I think we've got to talk about O'Hare here. You know, that composure is brilliant to see, isn't it, Matt? Because it's one thing that we've questioned whether O'Hare has got that. Obviously, the finishing ability we've questioned too, but it's the composure in that top third of the pitch at times, and he showed it in abundance here.
Yeah, he is one of those players. He's buzzing around all over the pitch and you get so many benefits from that. Not even when he's kind of always when he's in possession, he's always working hard. He's always kind of onto his man, trying to force him into a mistake. And again, we saw kind of an example of that here. And like you say, yeah, composure, sometimes maybe a bit of a question mark. It does seem to be more the finishing side. And obviously we're all hoping kind of those goals come from at some point moving forward. But he's having more than enough impact in the team in other areas to kind of obviously validate his position in the starting lineup. And it was fantastic for him to kind of have that composure. You know, any kind of attacking minded player, you're thinking in that situation, they're going to line up the shot. But yeah, it's kind of what's best for the team and kind of slide it to the big Swede. And he will very, very casually slide the ball home and kind of get that equaliser for us.
You mentioned it before, the penalty. You can have first dibs on chatting about this. I don't think there's any doubt that it's not a penalty, but it's nice to be on the end of a rubbish officiating decision for a change, isn't it?
I think, it's one of those things kind of, I really try when it comes to football, you get so frustrated in terms of kind of, you start to feel one decision from a referee and then anything at that point, any 50-50 that might go against you, start saying, that's it, the ref's gone, he's completely, completely against us and we're not going to get anything. And kind of, you have that feeling. And I try and avoid that. Obviously, you kind of had the example with the Luton game. We gave the penalty away early on. And I think, as Andy mentioned, it's not a penalty. And whatever these new rules are, it's not a penalty either way, I don't think. But it's one of those things, it's close enough that you say, look, let's not moan too much about that because it's not the reason we lost that game. We obviously lost it 5-0. Whether it's the first goal or not, it's irrelevant. And a similar situation here, you know, it's the second goal, it's the goal that puts us into the lead. So yes, it's an important decision when we're given that penalty, but it's also not the make or break decision. And it's one of those things, again, you know, the manager for them, kind of all their fans, everybody on TV, once they've seen it 25 times, slowed down to kind of 500% of the speed it is at normal time. It's an obvious decision, but it's not quite the same situation for a referee without kind of, you know, any assistance. So for me, I think everybody who's watching it at the time thinks maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Obviously we've seen afterwards it isn't, but you kind of, for me, it's one of those things, you get the balance. We obviously had the bad decision in the Luton game. I always think it's going to balance itself or roughly balance itself out over a season. I didn't think maybe it'd happen as quickly as as the next game, but you know, we'll definitely take it.
Andy, what's your thoughts on Matty Godden in that situation? Obviously, he's bought the foul, hasn't he? But do you blame him for what is essentially diving, especially when that defender sticks his leg out?
No, because he got his 3 points.
Anything to win from you, yeah?
Absolutely. Good strike play.
But it's cheating, right?
It's a debate, isn't it? That can run and run. I suppose it is. But to be honest, it won us a penalty. It won us the game. But it's a difficult one because you'd be fuming if it was against you, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But because it's against us, you kind of like brush it under the carpet. All football fans do. Like Matt said, you get some and you don't. It balances out over the season. And I don't think Godders is a cheater, is he? Let's be honest. I think he's quite an honest player. But he bought the foul this time.
I think he anticipates that leg coming out, doesn't he, more than anything?
It's not a blatant dive. It was almost like the leg came out by the defender. He kind of like went over it, didn't it?
We've seen worse. I would say the Tom Bayliss in the first leg of the playoff was even worse, if I'm honest.
That was the rain. I don't think he's a dishonest player. I think God is as honest as a cup, but he saw the leg and went over it, didn't he?
No doubt about the final product of him dispatching that penalty there, was there?
Nah, always going to bag. The bagsman always bags in Slotville, doesn't he? Absolutely wonderful taken penalty, call as you like, and brilliant celebration in the corner, wasn't it?
It's the new Holy Trinity, isn't it? You get the airplane, the knee slide, and the lawnmower. When they all come out to play, you know we're in for a good day.
That's it. And he's like, he was just milking it with the fans, weren't he? He's saying, yeah, God is his back. Let's enjoy it. He is back. And I'm looking forward to this partnership with Big Vic because they looked superb yesterday. Exciting.
They really did because they've both got that energy about them, don't they, Matt? They're just never ending, like Duracell bunnies.
Yeah. You know, Vic is obviously, this is, I think he said in the post-match interview, kind of asked him, what's the difference this season? And you can see the confidence in him because he said, well, I'm getting played. That's the difference. Yeah. I'm kind of having the opportunity to play. And if you play me, I'm going to score goals. And obviously we'll talk about it. The kind of the ball in from Godden for the fourth goal is unbelievable. So you kind of got that spark of a partnership between them straight away. And it's fantastic to see. Obviously difficult for Waghorn missing out for whatever reason, but we've got options there now. You know, we didn't have those options to the same level last season. We've definitely got options there now.
And don't forget Tyler Walker is sitting there as well. And you know, when he gets a chance, he's probably going to try and take it. So, you know, options are good to have. Let's talk about that third goal. For me, it's going down as one of the great 1-2s in Coventry history from Ian Matson. His ball out to Dabo, you know, I was on my feet applauding it, to be honest, in my front room. Dabo's cross was so dangerous, but the strike from Matson, oh, clean as you like, wasn't it? Not quite Steve Froggatt-esque, I'd say, but beauty of a finish, Matt.
Not quite there, but yeah, it's three moments of absolute quality in that kind of very short window of time. Premier League quality for sure, which is fantastic to see from kind of those young players. And the ball over, as you say, to start the move is absolutely fantastic. It's a laser. That's kind of the definition of a laser pass from one side of the pitch to the other. And it's something
coming off it for sure.
It's kind of something we seem to be benefiting from a lot this season. We kind of obviously saw it in the Peterborough game again, and it shows the confidence that they kind of, they're looking up, picking the ball from one end of the pitch to the other, or one side of the pitch to the other, with complete confidence. And then obviously the ball from Dabo, kind of we said with Todd Kane's ball for the goal against Peterborough, it's unplayable. That is almost unplayable in itself. It's a fantastic clearing header, to be fair, to be able to get it away at all, but just falls into the path of the man they don't want it to. And if I'm honest with you, I didn't really kind of have that confidence in him as the ball was dropping to his feet to kind of ping it the way he did into the top corner. But it's about as pure a strike as you're going to see. He just absolutely connected with it. It was pretty much the same kind of contact as he would have put in for the ball across the pitch to Dabo. And I think it took everybody by surprise. And absolutely fantastic goal.
He had one in that first half as well, didn't he? Sort of the same sort of area when we played him through and it was blocked. But I think that was travelling as well. So he's definitely got in the locker.
Yeah, and he obviously, it's good to see that he's not afraid to hit the ball as well, because you know, obviously the way we're playing, kind of Mattsson, Dabo, they are going to get into these positions. Dabo probably hang back a little bit more, but Mattsson seems to push on into the box a little bit more. And I remember you talking about it was a fantastic move and it was a good opportunity, hit it well, but probably the placement wasn't quite there as it was for the actual goal that came later on in the game.
Absolutely. You talked about the pass from Godden. Let's talk about this fourth goal that really put the icing on the cake from Jokeres. I think I could just watch this goal over and over again, Andy. The pass was just ridiculous, wasn't it?
Phenomenal spot from Godden, wasn't it? What a pass that is. It's one of the best passes of the season already, isn't it? What,
Beckham-esque,
wasn't it? Yeah, it was just like a proper whippage going on there. That was just... yeah, like Beckham, wasn't it? Absolutely fantastic from Godders. And
you could hear the appreciation from the crowd as well, because they all went, yeah, woo!
Like, yeah, absolutely.
It's like a really excited cheer.
What's this? We don't see this very often. No, it's like just a complete... And that's the confidence from him. He scored his penalty, his confidence, his tail was up, and he can play balls like that. And found his spot, strike partner, absolutely superbly. And he won control and he slotted it in, didn't he? Stabbed it in. And again, that kind of rolled over the line as well, quite slowly as well. So if I had any criticism for Big Vic, I just wish he could put it in the ball a bit, in the net a bit quicker next time. But yeah, brilliant goal. Brilliant partnership. It looks like it's growing into between Vic and Godden. And that was a fantastic, fantastic goal.
Absolutely. And it could have been better after that, couldn't it, with Big Vic potentially getting his hat-trick, but had it not been for his superb save from Gazzaniga, who I think came under some unfair criticism from the Fulham supporters, Andy.
Yeah, he's done all right this season for Fulham.
There's not much he could have done about potentially all of the goals, really.
No, not really. It was the defender's fault for the first, penalty second, third, Mattsson, not a chance. And what can he do about the fourth? So I don't quite understand where the criticism coming from that, from Fulham. But yeah, I don't understand that. But no, I don't think you can look at his doorstep. Just unlucky that Vic didn't get his trick.
Yeah, unfortunate that one. I think is that three times he scored a brace now this season?
I think so, yeah.
Something like that, yeah. Okay, which is crazy. And every time he scored, we've won as well, so... That's something to look back on as well. Chalk and cheese, those two performances, though, weren't they, Matt? What do you think the difference was in sort of the mindset between those games?
I think it is down to Robbins. We spoke a bit earlier on in terms of kind of the way that he's able to get a reaction. You look kind of the last, certainly since we've been back in the Championship last season, you know, we didn't... Difficult season, obviously, coming back into the league, the second lowest budget as it was at that point in time. And we didn't go any more than two games in a row kind of with back-to-back defeats. You know, any point we lost two in a row, we kind of nipped that in the bud and moved on. And a lot came down to, you just could tell the way Robbins would kind of get a reaction out of them, make the changes he needed to. And I don't think there was anything massively in terms of what we did different in our setup for the Fulham game, in terms of how we set up against every other team that we've faced at the CBS. And that's for good reason. You know, obviously we've got a 100% record and we've got to give them more respect because they're Fulham. They're a team that's been in the Premier League recent as last season. But I just think it was more instilling that confidence into the players. You know, you deserve to be at this level. You're in the same league as Fulham. You deserve to be on the same pitch as them. And the changes were kind of, I think they did help us in the end. And obviously maybe that little bit of experience from Kelly as well was important. But yeah, I just think it's kind of that confidence, making sure that, yeah, maybe we have a bad run or a little bit of a kind of a bad performance. But Robbins will give them that belief to say you should be on this pitch with these players and you can go and get the result.
And obviously it was billed as probably our first real test this season. But we've come through it quite comfortably in the end. I suppose we can now start dreaming of what might actually be a promotion push now, Matt.
Yeah.
Was it too early? It might be too early. It might just be me getting excited for no reason.
I don't think, you know, there's no harm in people getting excited. You know, that we've obviously, they've earned that respect in this division for sure, what they've done this season and particularly at home. And I think for me, I'm probably not the right person to ask this question to because I'm generally... You know, we've all been Cov fans for a while now and we know what can happen. But this does feel different. So I don't see any reason why we can't start to kind of be confident. But like I said, and like we talked about earlier, for me, it's kind of trying to enjoy what's going on as it's happening. You start to get in that situation where, you know, the focus is, right, are we going to make the automatic promotion places, and you kind of get away from a certain respect the actual performances and the results. So for me at the moment, it's just happily go along, you know, see us beat Fulham 4-1 and whatever will come after the international break as well. If we can get a couple more wins, maybe in 5-10 games, if we're in a similar position, then I might start getting a little bit more excited. But yeah, I just hope people enjoy it for what it is at the moment and don't get too focused in on, right, okay, now if we're not winning the league, this has been a terrible season. It's just absolutely fantastic football, and hopefully we can make sure we continue to enjoy it for what it is at the moment, because it's great to see.
So would you say no to pre-booking some Wembley Way hotels?
Maybe start have a look. It can't hurt to have a look, can it? You know, no, you've got to keep your eye on it.
I know what he's going to say. He's going to say automatic.
No advanced purchases in the hotel.
Well, we might not need them. We might just go up in the top two. So
that's it. That's
there you
it.
Go.
And it was also obviously the first real chance to see the skipper back in action, or as I'm calling him now, the metronome. Outstanding performance from him. You know, it didn't look like he'd been out of action, did it, since the start of April? But given how much control he seems to have over games, and especially in this team, Andy, could he be the difference, especially in our away form this year?
Hope so, because he's massive. He's huge for us, Liam Kelly. He's our skipper. He's our leader. He just does the things that are unfashionable well, and you don't even notice that he's on the pitch. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a good way, because he just does all the crappy jobs well. His body shape is brilliant. It protects and screens that back three fantastically. He gets us playing, and he's just absolutely amazing. Fantastic player. And considering the amount of time he's on off because of injury, he didn't even look like he had been off, has he? He was absolutely fantastic. And get those PJs on, Dino, because he's back.
I have to get a new set, I think, for this year. Absolutely. Actually, it's getting colder now, so I could start putting them on a bit more.
Absolutely, mate. You know, because he's back in a big time, and he's going to boost through that midfield area for us, because Hamer, Sheaf, done good. Alan's been fantastic. He's been a revelation this season.
But I was going to mention the Alan situation, because it's probably very, very harsh on him considering his form since the third game of the season that he was dropped for this match.
Yeah, but he's going to have a say, isn't he? You know, four of them are going to have a say. You know, Sheaf came in, didn't he?
Sheaf played well yesterday.
He did play well. Him and Kelly looked a great combination. So, you know, Hamer and Alan have got a fight to get back in the team. And that's football. That's a successful team that are going to go for the playoffs playoffs need competition, don't they?
Yeah, in all areas. Well, we didn't have that at a big period of last year, did we? That was probably our main problem.
The squad from last season to this season is completely different, with so much more competition in this squad than last. You know, you look at Vic, he's got 9 goals already. Our top goal scorer last season was Tyler Walker with 7.
Yeah, and it's, 11 games in? Just short of a quarter of the way of the season, yeah.
And you've got, like, the striking area, you know, they've got 4 strikers, you've got that central midfield area that there's 4. I think the only area that we're lacking is maybe at centre-half, but, you know, Rose is looking to chomp at the bit to get back in. You know, the full-back area is maybe a little bit light, but that's why he bought Todd Kane in, didn't he? Because he covers both left-back and left-wing-back and right-wing-back. With even the goalkeeping area, you know, Ben Wilson is not the worst deputy in the world. There's some squad depth this season compared to last season, in my opinion.
Mentioned a lot of players there. Matt, let's go for your man of the match nomination first. A lot to choose from.
There are a lot to choose from. I think kind of there's probably 5-6 at least you could kind of stake a good claim for it. I'm going to sound a bit repetitive at the moment, because I said it last week after the Peterborough game. I am going to say Gyökeres. It's just too hard not to. You know, there's just such a consistency in his play at the moment. Obviously, he's getting the goals, scoring another brace kind of at the weekend. And it is his kind of play outside of that as well. He will drop deep. He will pick the ball up. And he's fantastic in terms of his retention of the ball. He will make something happen, even if it's not the most spectacular thing. When the ball goes into his feet, I would say a majority of the time, he does the right thing with it. And, you know, again, another fantastic performance for me. Feels a little bit obvious, so I apologise for that. But I feel kind of I've taken the main standout name here. But yeah, I'm going to have to go for the Swede again.
Andy, same thoughts with Victor?
No, because, you know, I don't want to sound the same, but I just thought myself, I've gone for, can I have two, Dino, or is that not allowed?
It's not called men of the match, it's man of the match. You can have two, of course you can have two. I'll say all 11. I thought it was a great team performance, if I'm perfectly honest.
I'll give you my man of the match and then I'll do a special mention. How's that? Okay. Man of the match, Mattison for me. I thought he was fantastic. I thought he defensively, I thought he grew into the game fantastically well. And he got better and better. And some of the pings he was providing was just unbelievable. And that finish, I'm sorry, that's proper swaz. You know, that
swaz
deserves.
Wow.
It's absolutely.
Definitely not.
The technique on that is above the level. It's absolutely. You saw it from, you know, when you saw the replay on Sky behind the goal. The technique from that is just absolutely above the level and fantastic finish by Mattison. His defensive and attacking play is just what you need from a left wing back. He's been very, very good, and I thought he was brilliant against.
He did pick up another booking though, so we will miss him now for that Blackburn game.
Yeah, which is annoying, isn't it, Dino? Because we will miss him. We'll have to put, obviously, a Dabo might go left wing back, mightn't he? Which is not his favourite position, is it? It looks a little bit awkward when Dabo plays left wing back. But that's a shame. But a special mention goes to Liam Kelly as well. Obviously, I've covered him with my thoughts of how he played. But I thought he was immense. And to come back after that amount of time being off and be that instrumental and not look like he's not played for a long time, he's my special mention, Dino.
And I think we need to mention that Gyökeres has got a call up to the Sweden squad as well in place of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, very well deserved. But it's one of those for me where I just pray to God he does not get injured.
It's a bit of an upgrade for them, isn't it? You know, you go from Ibrahimovic to Vig. But yeah, it is kind of that first thought of he gets the call up. We love seeing it. You know, we don't get loads of call ups from kind of some of the bigger named European teams for COV these days. So it's good to see when it happens. But yeah, then you kind of start thinking it's that thought. We hope he doesn't come back injured because we obviously clearly rely a lot on his goals. But yeah, I think it'll actually work out well for him. You know, I think he's obviously got a lot of confidence. He can go there and hopefully do well and then come back and just pick up where he's left off.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
It's now 2 weeks until the Sky Blues are back in action due to the snooze fest that is the international break, after which we'll head north to face Blackburn Rovers and our old pal, Tony Mowbray. Blackburn have started the season well, especially after losing a few key players, namely Adam Armstrong, and after very little incomings. They sit in eighth place currently, 4 wins, 4 draws, 3 defeats to their name, just outside the playoff positions. Andy, this will be a tough test. It always is against a Blackburn side who, you know, demolished us, especially at home last year. But this is another opportunity to go away from home and show what we're made of.
It'll be interesting to see what team he plays, won't it, Dino? I wonder if he'll go with the screen of Sheaf and Kells just for the away form, because obviously that is a concern for us, our away form. It's been poor. It was poor last season, and it hasn't really specifically started well this season, bar the Blackpool win. So it'll be interesting. I'll be very interested to see what happens with his team selection. But we need to get that going. If we want to, you know, flirt with the playoffs, we need to get up away form going, Dino. So very interesting.
Obviously, you mean flirt with the top two, Andy. Come on.
I'm not going that far.
We'll be in Barclays this time next year.
Please do. I wish. But no, I think, yeah. But there's nothing to fear from Blackburn. They always start the season very well, don't they, Dean? And then fall off. It's typical Mowbray, isn't it?
That is Mowbray. Peak Mowbray, isn't it?
Absolutely. So they've got some, but they did lose at the weekend to Blackpool, didn't they? 2-1, which isn't a particularly good result. So hopefully we can benefit on that.
I think they've lost the last two, against Huddersfield as well, 3-2. So quite close results, but you know.
Looks like they're conceding a few, doesn't it? So that's good news.
It does. They're also scoring a few. They notched 5 against Cardiff.
Cardiff are poor at the minute, aren't they?
They are a poor side, yeah. And one of the shining lights for Blackburn this season is the Chilean international superstar, but born in Stoke, that is Ben Brereton Diaz. 10 goals already to his name this season. In a team that was suggested at the start to have very little goals in it, he's one to be wary of, Matt, isn't he?
Yeah, he's standing out kind of quite comfortably amongst their squad at the minute. Somebody who's come to the public's attention in the summer with a very unique situation around his call-up for Chile. I don't think many people saw that come in, and the name change.
Great story, isn't it?
Fantastic story, yeah. And it's kind of, you know, it's obviously great to see these kind of situations come about. And I think he's one of those players I had heard of. You start researching him a bit when you saw that whole situation come up. You're shocked to see he's still only 21. He feels like somebody who's been around for, well, he has actually been around for 5-6 years. He was obviously at Forest beforehand for a couple of years and seems to have been around for a while. He kind of felt more like an attacking midfielder, maybe even up to last season. But as you say, he's made a massive name for himself already this season, aside from, you know, an interesting story around the Chile call-up in terms of kind of what he's producing on the pitch, and probably had that responsibility for London with the loss of Adam Armstrong going to Southampton. So they needed somebody to step up and score the goals. And he's certainly done that. As he said, 10 goals, he's got one assist as well. So he's just behind Mitrovic in the scoring charts. And yeah, he's certainly the one to watch out for us when we come back from the international break.
Obviously got a few other decent players in this team as well. Sam Gallagher stands out, but for one for me, John Buckley, who was one of their academy graduates, he started the season off really well. Really, really bright, attacking, strong centre midfielder. Anything else to look out in this side?
Yeah, one of the kind of names that stood out for me is Joe Rothwell. He's kind of somebody who probably had quite big expectations on him, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. He's playing youth international level, right to under 20s, you know, right from pretty much as early as you can. So there was obviously that expectation on him there to be a Premier League standard player. And it maybe didn't work out exactly how he thought it would, but he's taken the responsibility on this season, and he's, I think he's got the most assists for him to date this season with three. So somebody we might want to keep an eye on in terms of kind of, you know, the creation side, because I think Brereton is obviously, Brereton Diaz, I should say, is going to be the real threat in terms of front of goal. So he's one to watch. You've got Poveda, who's on loan from Leeds. Actually quite surprised in terms of what he's done for them so far in the fact of it's very little, to be honest with you. He's somebody who actually got decent game time for Leeds in the Premier League last season. I think he got 14 appearances for them, but only three to his name so far this campaign. He's got one assist, but not really lit the league up as they probably would have hoped. They obviously haven't done much, as you mentioned earlier on, in terms of the transfer window. I think they only brought 4 or 5 names in, but he was one on loan and probably was a lot of expectation on him. But yeah, he was on the bench for the Blackpool game. So, but still somebody, if he was to come back after the international break, he's one you're gonna obviously want to keep an eye on for sure.
I was kind of hoping with the Diaz situation, I call him Diaz now, it's Ben Brereton, not Diaz. With Brereton, I was kind of hoping that with his international call-up to Chile during this international break, that he would have to play all 3 games that Chile have got, but they've got some agreement that he can come back to serve his 10-day quarantine that he has to do. So I was kind of
finding a way, aren't they? They seem to be finding a way to kind of, you know, obviously seeing it with some of the other South Americans coming back to the Premier League. There seems to be a way around it, which is quite interesting. But yeah, you can imagine Blackburn have got a real kind of vested interest in getting him back. I don't know how much pulling power Blackburn have got in terms of kind of international travel and regulations and rules, but it seems like more than we would have hoped. But yeah, they're gonna make sure he's back, aren't they?
Maybe they've been on the blower to Boris, trying to change the regulations before.
Wouldn't be too wild, would it?
You don't have to throw a couple of quid at them. You can do what you want. Anyway, let's move on. Andy, how would you approach this? And you obviously mentioned about, you know, potentially changing the side. Would you go to potentially a one up top for this game?
No, I'd go with the same team as what we played against Fulham. I would play with the two screeners. That's dropping Heimer out though, isn't it?
Yeah, I was about to say, now you've got this issue though, haven't you? All over the pitch really, where we've got too many, you know, too many to fit in.
Yeah, I might play Heimer with Kelly and drop.
It's quite a big pitch, this Ewood Park pitch as well. So it's kind of the place where you would think Heimer would come into his own.
I'll probably change that. I'll probably go with Heimer and Cowles, and then I'll play Godden and Big Vic up front, because I want to see that partnership develop. And why wouldn't you? They both scored, so why would you drop them? So and everything else, I would keep the same, Dino. But let's get on the front foot. Nothing to fear from these lads. And I think a bit of that screening by Kelly will help Heimer as well, because it might release him as well. So I think definitely put Kelly in with Heimer, and then the rest the same as what's against Fulham.
So he's making one change there, Matt. Yeah. It's very hard to change, isn't it? A winning team, but how would you approach it?
Similar, exactly the same, to be honest. I think Hamer comes in purely on the basis of, as you say, kind of a decent pitch for him to get involved in. And I think he'll have a good opportunity to kind of influence the play with that level of space. So kind of, you've got to give him these opportunities. I think he's technically our best player. So yeah, that's the one change I'd make, exactly the same. But apart from that, it'd be really difficult to change anybody else. I think even if, obviously, the timing of the Waghorn illness is probably going to mean that he should potentially be back in terms of being available. But I think the partnership that we saw on Saturday afternoon, he wouldn't break it up. So for me, I'd go exactly the same.
And what are you predicting for that one?
I think we will win 2-1, Dino.
Wow, an away win.
Yeah.
Matt?
I'm going for a win as well. I'm going for 1-0. I think, kind of, to be honest, they have surprised me in the fact that they are 8th, because had quite a lot of big name players going out and not much coming back in. So I think there is still an opportunity with them. They've had some bad results, as we've mentioned previously. Mm. So I don't, you know, obviously we're not a position at the moment where we can say we're going to walk into any stadium and pick up the 3 points. And I think we've probably had a good reminder of that in our last away game. But yeah, I'm going to go confident. I think we can go there and get the win. So I'm going 1-0.
Absolutely. I think we do need to travel confidently. We've got quite a healthy record at Ewood Park too. So it feels like one for the taking for the Sky Blues. Let's talk about the Tweet League. We've moved up a little bit. We're now sitting in 82nd as Sky Blues Extra.
Where are you, Dean?
We don't need to talk about that, Andy. No, cough first. but we'll take your prediction for the Tweet League this week, 2-1. So hopefully that can turn the tide a little bit, although I'm not sure why you wouldn't take my prediction. It seems to be a nice way to wrap things up, chaps. Cool. That's it for this week. Thank you for your input, as always. Enjoy the international break. Don't fall asleep too easily. As always, a big thank you to our sponsors at Shortland Hall for their continued support. And don't forget, talk about the Tweet League to get your predictions in when they open again next week. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time. But in the meantime, if you want to get involved with anything we've talked about today or any other conversation, check out our social media channels and use the hashtag SkyBluesExtra.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra podcast.